Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter here for the New American Magazine. I'm your host, Alex Newman, with us a very special guest, one of the brave heroes, the heroes in my book, who have stood up to the lies, the disinformation, the misinformation, and are now suffering the consequences for telling the truth. Her name is Dr. Meryl Nass. She is a doctor in Maine. She's a physician and researcher. She's proved that the world's largest anthrax epidemic was due to biological warfare. And she has now come under fire from the Board of Licensure in Medicine for the state of Maine. They actually suspended her license with the bogus excuse that she was spreading disinformation and misinformation about the COVID vaccine, which more and more truth is coming out. And Dr. Nass's information has proven correct overwhelmingly. She's also been in trouble for prescribing other medications to help fight COVID-19, medications that she will talk about a little bit today. Dr. Nass, thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's great to have you. Give the audience a sense of what you've been going through. Why did the Board of Licensure for Medicine in the state of Maine come after you?
Well, looking back, I think the board came after me because they were probably instructed, the staff were probably instructed to do so because they were looking for some doctors to use as poster children to scare the rest of the doctors. Also, looking back, I now find that almost all the doctors I know who have tried to fight the narrative and give people early treatment and make clear what we think is true and false about the pandemic, virtually all of them in the United States and overseas have their medical boards going after their licenses or threatening them. So it seems to be a widespread strategy, and I can't tell you exactly who's at the top of it, but the strategies that the boards are using are identical in all our cases.
Yeah, it is absolutely terrifying. In fact, I was just on a program a few days ago with Dr. Naputi. He says the federal government is suing him for $500 billion for recommending, I know, right? For recommending zinc and vitamin D to people who were suffering from COVID, which, of course, their own studies show vitamin D and zinc are good for the immune system in these types of situations. Dr. Nass, talk about the process that they used. I mean, I saw some of this come out in some news reports. It was reported that they were forcing you to undergo a neuropsychiatric evaluation. I mean, these are tactics that were used in the Soviet Union against dissenters. I mean, this is unprecedented in America. Talk a little bit about it, if you would.
Sure. So the boards have a process. They are governed by statutes in each state. And in my state, there is a statute that says what you're allowed to immediately suspend a license for. And I hadn't done any of the things that are listed in that statute. But they wanted to, for whatever reason, immediately suspend me as a danger to the public, even though there has never been a patient complaint in 40 years. So they had to then, after they suspended me, justify it. And the only way they could justify it is to claim that I was either a substance abuser or I was mentally unfit. Either I was crazy or I was demented. And so they were hoping to get some evidence from a neuropsych exam that would then allow them to justify the fact that they'd already immediately suspended me.
This is just unthinkable that this could be happening in America, a free country with constitution. I mean, it's just, it's hard to fathom, Dr. Nass. What should people be doing about this? I mean, first of all, for other doctors out there, how do they respond to this? And what does the public do with something like this? I mean, how do we protect the rights of doctors to speak their minds and give what they think is the best medical advice?
So roughly about 10% of healthcare workers were fired or quit because they wouldn't take the vaccine. And many of them have been speaking out. And so that is a whole cohort that the system is going after. What they want is to have no medical professionals who are going to tell the public the truth, what they consider the truth about vaccines, drugs, COVID. And frankly, as this moves forward, everything else. The government wants to be able to prescribe your medication and wants to provide one-size-fits-all medical care for the people of the United States. And that's what they did with remdesivir. If you went to a hospital, the hospitals were incentivized with large financial payments to give everybody with a COVID diagnosis, even if you had no symptoms, IV remdesivir. And, you know, I can't tell you why. I can't tell you whether that came from the company, whether that came from the government, whether that came from a desire to cause kidney problems, because that drug often causes kidney insufficiency and sometimes kidney failure. But virtually everybody got remdesivir in the United States if they went into a hospital and had a COVID diagnosis. So that's what we can expect in the future if the doctors who are willing to speak up and give their own opinion, not the government's opinion, which now the government and these medical nonprofits are calling consensus opinion. The thing is, if you censor everybody with a different opinion, you can then claim you've got a consensus.
Yep. And, you know, we've seen this with a lot of our guests here on this program. Dr. Peter McCullough was one of the early voices that came here on our show and warned people about what was showing up in the VAERS data about these COVID injections. And now they're targeting him to take away his licenses. It's just truly incredible. Dr. Ness, let's talk about some of the things that you were talking about that got you in hot water, so to speak. What did you say about COVID? What did you say about the COVID injections? What did you say about other treatment options that made them so upset?
I give a lot of interviews. I have a blog. I have a website, a Substack, and I have a show on Children's Health Defense TV. So I was putting a lot of information out into the public, and two strangers who had never met me or any of my patients complained to my medical board that I was spreading misinformation on the internet. So that was the first thing. I said that there were more miscarriages after the vaccine, that pregnant women shouldn't be vaccinated. I've pointed out that the efficacy of the vaccine wears off very quickly after a few months, after a few weeks in children, and then it becomes a negative, which means that you become the vaccinated are more susceptible to COVID after about 6 months after they've had the shot. I was just talking about a lot of different things, the benefits of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, and the many different ways governments, industry, drugstore companies, et cetera, had the many actions they had taken to suppress hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. I'd come up with 58, I think, ways hydroxychloroquine was being suppressed around the world, and probably over a dozen ways in which ivermectin was being suppressed. So, that was powerful stuff. Because once you see that governments and industry are colluding to prevent patients from accessing a potentially life-saving drug, you have to question everything, not only about the pandemic, but who's running the show and what are they, why are they running this train into the ground? What is going to happen? And so obviously they wanted to shut me up, but luckily they haven't shut me up. And I continue to speak out and continue to work for Children's Health Defense.
Yeah, we're very grateful for your willingness to continue speaking out and so many other brave doctors who have spoken out. Dr. Ness, they're already talking about the next pandemic. I saw Bill Gates recently at the Munich Security Conference. He said, the way we deal with the next pandemic, everybody's got to do what Australia did, right? Open air concentration camps for people who won't take the shot. Total control over movement. You can't do your shopping. Where do you think this goes from here if they're allowed to, if the medical establishment, I guess, if you will, in collusion with the big pharmaceutical companies and the government, if they're allowed to get away with this, what sort of future are we looking at, and how do we prevent that from happening?
Let me give you some background. After 9/11, legislation at the federal level and at the state level called Model Emergency Health Powers Acts were enacted by the legislatures and by Congress, the PREP Act, the BioShield Act, PAHPRA. And these said that if you had a medical emergency, a pandemic, or biological warfare event, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the governors, and the president could gain powers that they had not had before. And that gave them the right to shut down businesses, shut down schools, demand masks, give out vaccines, et cetera. Before 2011, we did not have laws on the books that would have allowed that to happen. And similar laws were introduced in most of the Western world. So in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, et cetera. And subsequently, there have been many pandemics declared. So in 2009, Margaret Chan, the Director General of the WHO, declared a pandemic, even though that flu was less severe than a normal flu. And that pandemic declaration triggered the purchase of billions of doses of vaccines that were then used around the world and were not helpful and caused over 1,300 cases of narcolepsy in Europe. We did not use the particular vaccine that caused them, so we didn't have that problem in the U.S. In the last couple of years, we've had the pandemic declared by both the president, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and the Director General of WHO for COVID. And we've also had it declared for monkeypox. So the Director General and the president have both said we have this medical emergency, this pandemic. And based on, you know, a very few cases of monkeypox, a few tens of thousands of cases in the U.S., it's almost gone now. It's almost gone internationally. It's almost gone in the U.S. We're down to 5% of cases that we had in August. But despite that, these people have the right to declare emergencies based on basically nothing. And then that brings all these powers to them. Now, what we're looking at right now is our amendments that have been discussed. They're still being written. They're still being negotiated. But amendments to the international health regulations and a pandemic treaty or accord, which will then centralize power for the conduct of pandemics, international conduct by health authorities in the hands of the WHO. And we have Jeffrey Sachs saying we should give the WHO $60 billion a year to do this. So we're approaching a very dangerous situation where if these amendments and or the accord are adopted, the head of WHO can declare a pandemic on the basis of almost nothing, like monkeypox, and all of a sudden, all our countries lose their sovereignty, and the WHO starts giving the orders about how everybody needs to have a pandemic passport, you know, a health passport, how you can't travel, how you have to be locked down. And this will be really taking away sovereignty and freedom from all the nations. And the G20 just last week said they wanted everyone to have a health passport. So you wouldn't be allowed to travel unless you were vaccinated with whatever vaccines they insisted you have. So people have to say, no, this has gone too far. You know, why are we still under an alleged emergency when the emergency's over? You know, why are we still allowing governors and the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the president to have these powers when nobody's afraid of COVID anymore and it's become a mild disease? Anyway, we have to do something about that. The easiest way to do it for the U.S. is to exit the WHO. And that's what we need to do. The WHO now is basically a front organization for Bill Gates, who is calling the shots. And if you want Bill Gates, you know, determining what kind of healthcare you get in the future, you know, then stay with the WHO and allow it to have these new pandemic rules imposed on the United States and everyone else. But the easiest way to avoid that is to just leave the WHO. And Trump did it for a while. So it was done and we can do it again. And we just have to give them a year's warning that we're not going to pay them anymore. And we're out.
Fascinating stuff. And yeah, I mean, they are moving rapidly with these amendments to the international health regulations. They're working on this international pandemic treaty. And based on what we've seen over the last couple of years, I mean, it's just terrifying. Dr. Naus, before we let you go, some final thoughts out there for regular people. How can people get involved? How can people do something useful? How can people support doctors that are telling the truth? And how can people follow you on social media or do you have a website? What's the best place? You mentioned that you have a show on children's health defense. How can people follow your work?
Sure. So I have a show on Good Morning CHD twice a month. And once a week, I'm on a panel on the Friday Roundtable on CHD TV. I have a Substack, merylnaus.substack.com, and a website, which is anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com. How to help? Well, I'm building a program right now through Children's Health Defense Europe and the U.S., to assist doctors, because doctors generally keep quiet when a board is investigating them. They don't want anyone to know. So it's been done very quietly, but turns out there are hundreds or thousands of doctors that are being investigated now. And so I'm trying to gather all the information, put it up there, and give them the legal strategies they can use, because all these boards are using the identical strategies against us. They must, somebody was paid to do this. We think it was the Federation of State Medical Boards, which is a nonprofit, but it gives the policies to the medical boards. The medical boards are actually state agencies that have regulatory authority. So what should people do? They should write letters to the editor, because generally the media are not carrying good information, but the letters to the editor have not been completely suppressed yet. You should watch alternative media like the New American, watch CHD. We have a daily newsletter called The Defender. We also have a new sort of newsletter called Community Forum coming out that's more than a newsletter, but will enable people to join groups and join as many groups as possible. Get active at the local level, because we've got to fight this at the local level. You need to make sure you know where your food's going to come from. You know, the production of food is being restricted. If you watch alternatives, you've seen farmers in Holland fighting because Holland is trying to get rid of at least half of the livestock farming in Holland. Holland is the world's number two exporter of food after the United States. And they're trying, and the powers that be, the government of Holland is trying to destroy that on the basis that there's too much nitrogen going into the water, you know, too much climate change issues, et cetera. And basically, we've got people starving and they're trying to stop food production. So that is happening here in the US, where Bill Gates owns more farmland than anyone else. We have to be very careful about that. So you establish how you're going to get your food, you start gardening, you develop groups of people who will defend each other. So if the police come to one person's house, you make a call and a bunch of other people show up. So they can't take you off because you were not following the narrative or for whatever, you wouldn't get vaccinated. You don't let them come to people's houses and vaccinate them. These vaccines, as we know, are dangerous. They do almost nothing to help you. Everybody knows that now. And yet the government bought 171 million doses of the new booster and wants to get that into everybody. It's crazy. Our money is being wasted. The federal government admits that by October of last year, $4.5 trillion had been allocated by Congress for the pandemic response. And that a lot of that money was used to bribe the media, bribe the education system, bribe the medical system to do what the government wanted. So we are paying, our children and our grandchildren may have to pay for these measures that are designed to basically enslave us, take away our rights. So find however you can to fight back and do it. And I thank you very much.
True words of wisdom there, Dr. Nass. Thank you so much for your courage. Thank you for joining us today. Please keep up the good fight, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again very soon. That was Dr. Merrill Nass, folks. Thank you for tuning in. This is Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, here at the New American Magazine. Until next time, God bless you all.
You remember when everyone bought all the toilet paper? And they wanted me to wear these things? And someone invested a lot of money into this stuff. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
Being informed is important, but being informed with the truth is essential. Visit thenewamerican.com for news you can trust.